from Adhyatma Ramayana. I bow to that Lord of Janaki, who is of the nature of consciousness, who incarnated amongst men at the prayer of the gods to lighten the burdens of the world, who took on a human form under the influence of Maya, and was born on earth in the dynasty of the kings of the solar rays, who is without decay, and who, after killing the chief of the Rakshasas and spreading his never-fading glory, the destroyer of all sins in the world, returned to his abode in the eternal Brahman. I bow to him who is one, who is the cause of the creation, preservation, and dissolution of the universe, who, though appearing to be under the influence of Maya, is yet independent of it, who is beyond the range of conception, who is bliss itself, who is of the nature of pure knowledge, who is the Lord of Sita, and who knows the reality. This Ganga of the Adhyatma Ramayana, having taken its rise from the mountain known as the destroyer of the city, Shiva, joins the ocean known as the auspicious Rama and purifies the three worlds. Once upon a time, the goddess Parvati, daughter of the king of the mountains, who is ever abiding on the left side of the god Shiva, said with devotion the following words to the three-eyed god, who is seated on a seat covered with jewels in a temple on the top of the Kailasha mountain, resplendent like 100 suns, engaged in meditation, fearless and served by multitudes of siddhas, the destroyer of all sins and the root of bliss. Parvati said, salutations to thee, O God, the refuge of the world. Thou art the knower of all as thy own self. Thou art the Supreme Lord. I ask thee about the eternal nature of the highest Purusha. Thou art thyself eternal. The great declare to their devotees even what is otherwise kept secret and is not to be revealed to anyone. Wonderful, O God, do I, thy devotee, question thee. Thou art dear to me. Do thou tell me what I am going to ask thee about. I know what thou hast already said, yet again I ask thee about the nature of jnana and vijnana, knowledge and the realization thereof, the science of devotion and renunciation. Do thou once more declare in measured words, blazing like the sun, that to me by which people may cross this ocean of life. I ask thee another question, which is a deep mystery. Do thou, O lotus-eyed God, answer it. Steadfast devotion to that essence of the world, known as the auspicious Rama, is declared to be the best boat for crossing this ocean of worldly life. For release from samsara, devotion is said to be the only means. There is no other means. Yet it behooves thee to drive away the doubt that is lurking in my mind by thy pure instruction. They say that Rama is one, foremost of all beings, above the flow of the attributes of Maya, and that those who carefully worship him day and night attain to the supreme abode through realization of the self. Some say that though supreme, Rama did not know his nature through the influence of his own Maya. He, however, knew the nature of the supreme self when roused by another. If he knew his true self, why did he, the Supreme, grieve over the loss of Sita? If he did not know his own Atma, who would worship him, for he is then equal to other embodied creatures? What reply to this is known to thee? Do thou tell me in order to dispel my doubt. The Lord Mahadeva said, "Blessed art thou, thou art the devotee of the Supreme Self, thou that desirest to know the nature of Rama. Before this, no one ever questioned me, desirous of knowing this great mystery. Through devotion hast thou stirred me up. I shall answer thee, having bowed to that foremost of Raghus. Rama is the supreme self of Prakriti, primordial nature, without beginning, bliss itself, and the one supreme Purusha. Having created the whole of this universe through his own Maya, he pervades it in and out like space, akasha. Though abiding within all, his nature is concealed from all. He sees all created beings by his own Maya. These worlds ever revolve around him like iron drawn by a magnet. This those of the deluded minds know not because of understandings enveloped with ignorance of their own creation. They superimpose their own nescience upon him who is the self of all, who is pure, who is beyond Maya. Attached to wives and sons and engage in actions of various kinds, they wander about in the samsara. They do not know him who abides in their own hearts, like those forgetting the necklace round their own necks, run about in quest of it everywhere. Just as darkness does not abide in the sun, whose nature is light itself, even so avidya, nescience, does not abide in the Supreme Lord, whose nature is light. How can nescience reside in the supreme Raghu, Rama, who is replete with pure intelligence and who is the supreme of the supreme? Just as stars and other objects appear moving to one of defective sight from the turning of the eyes, even so is man stupefied in superimposing the notion of doer upon the Supreme Self, when the doer is the aggregate of the body, the senses, and the ahamkara, egoism. Day and night never appear in the sun whose nature, which is light, never leave it. In the same way, how can, then, knowledge and ignorance abide in Hari, Rama, whose nature is pure consciousness itself, a mass of consciousness? Therefore, darkness never abides in the foremost of Raghus, the lotus-eyed Rama, who is full of bliss, whose essence is knowledge. He is the witness of nescience itself. Therefore, it never overpowers him. Here I shall tell thee a mystery which is difficult of comprehension. It is the dialogue between Sita, Rama, and Hanuman, and is a means of emancipation. In the days of the Ramayana, Rama, who is skilled in warfare, having killed Ravana, that thorn on the side of the gods, with all his sons, army, and followers, came to Ayodhya in company with Sita, Sugriva, Lakshmana, Hanuman, and others. Installed on the throne, surrounded by Vasishtha and other great men, he was seated resplendent like a million suns. Seeing Hanuman standing in front of him with folded hands, all duties performed, without attachment to anything, of great intelligence and desirous of instruction, Rama said to Sita, "Do thou declare to Hanuman the truth. He is without faults, qualified to obtain knowledge and devoted to us." "Very well," said Sita. And thereupon she, who as Maya deludes the world, told Hanuman, who had approached them for instruction, the truth about Rama. Sita said, "Know Rama to be the supreme Brahman, truth, consciousness, and bliss, without a second, free from all superimposition, being itself beyond conception. Happy, pure, calm, free from defect, devoid of faults, pervading all, the self of all, self-illumined and above error. Know me to be the primeval Prakriti, the creator, preserver, and destroyer. By mere proximity to him, do I ever watchfully create all this. From proximity to him, what is created by me is superimposed upon him, by the ignorant. Birth in Ayodhya, in the highly sacred family of the Raghus, assisting at the sacrifices of Vishwamitra, removing the curse from Ahalya, breaking of Mahadeva's bow, my marriage to him, destruction of the pride of Bhargava, residence for 12 years with me in Ayodhya, journey to the Dandakaranya forest, killing of Virada and the illusory Maricha, abduction of the illusory Sita, emancipation of Jatayush and Kambanda, worship of Rama by Savari, meeting with Sugriva, killing of Bali, and the quest after Sita, bridging the ocean and the siege of Lanka, killing of the evil-minded Ravana in battle, together with all his sons, installation of Vibhishana on the throne of Lanka, the ride in the Pushpaka car with me, journey to Ayodhya, and installation of Raman on the throne. These and like actions, though done by me, Maya, the ignorant attribute to the unchangeable Rama, the self of all. Rama never moves, nor stands, nor grieves, nor wishes for anything, nor renounces, nor does anything. The embodiment of bliss, unmoved, unchangeable, he appears to be following the attributes of Maya, the Rama Hridaya. The Lord Mahadeva said, then Rama himself said to Hanuman, who was standing near him, listen now to the truth about the self, the not-self, and the supreme self as I declare it to thee. Just as there appears to be three kinds of space, space absolute, space is limited by a jar, and space reflected in the water that is in the jar. Even so is the consciousness, Chaitanya, limited by the principle of cognition, and consciousness reflected, and consciousness absolute. In this way, consciousness is threefold. The notion of the doer, which is the function of intelligence, is reflected in the buddhi, together with the notion of jiva, is superimposed upon the unlimited, the undefiled, the witness, absolute consciousness by the foolish. The reflection of the intelligence is an erroneous belief, as it is said to be the result of nescience. Brahman is without limitations, and limitation is a superimposition upon him. The unity of the limitless with the reflected self, with what underlies the notion of egoism, is established through the sayings like thou art that. When this knowledge of the identity of the two selves arises through the great saying, thou art that, then avidya, with all its offshoots, is destroyed. Of this there is no doubt. Knowing this, my devotee attains to my own self. Let those who are devoid of devotion to me roll in the abyss of the Shastras. Theirs is neither knowledge nor emancipation, even through hundreds of incarnations. This deep mystery of the heart, the essence of my own self, has been in truth declared by me to thee, O thou faultless one. Let it not be divulged to one who is without faith in me, who is of evil disposition, even though he gives forward a kingdom greater than that of Indra himself. The Lord Mahadeva said, thus, O goddess, have I declared to thee the mystery of Rama. It is a great secret. It is dear to the heart. It is a purifier and destroyer of sin. This was said by Rama himself. It is a compendium of all the Vedanta. Whoever always reads it with faith becomes emancipated. Of this there is no doubt.